Hi, and welcome to another edition of Pigeons with me, Yurili Wickham Ashby. And today I'm extremely pleased to have in the studio with me Danielle Holder. You met Danielle Holder a few months ago when she shared about living with lupus and a few other medical conditions. However, today Danielle will be chatting with me about the benefits, the joys, the challenges of being part of an organized group representing persons living with disabilities. Welcome to the program, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you again for having me.
It's always a pleasure chatting with you, Danielle. So I'm happy that you're willing to share with the public and, you know, help break down some of the stereotypes and barriers that are associated with being involved with a disability organization. So Danielle, the last time we chatted, you told me that you have lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes. And as a young woman, just remind us of what it is like managing this health condition.
Oh, honestly speaking, like I would have mentioned during our last interview, all of these comorbidities, the non-communicable chronic illnesses that I'm living with, they are very overwhelming. Usually at times, there is not a break. There's not really a chance to catch yourself because with there being more than one at a time, by the time as one rolls up, something else starts or continues or worsens. But by the grace of God, I am able to overcome.
Okay, nice. That's the positive attitude that we really should have with whatever challenging situation is confronting us. And then you got involved with a disability organization. What would have prompted your getting involved, your interest?
Well, the disability organization that I became a part of is called Barnard, Inc. Barnard stands for the Barbados National Organization of the Disabled. Well, what would have prompted me to have joined is that this organization is a cross-disability one. It doesn't focus on one particular impairment or condition. It encompasses all disabilities. So there are persons within the organization who are visually impaired, persons with physical impairments, invisible impairments, mental impairments, intellectual, you know, along those lines. So that is why I was very glad to have been informed and welcomed within the group. And along the line of that, well, one of the main reasons that would have encouraged me to have joined is that the organization within itself, as all organizations should be, it helps to empower persons living with disabilities in terms of helping lobbying government, in terms of policy changes and stuff, and decisions that will be affecting the lives of persons living with disabilities.
As a new member being involved, you mentioned, you know, that the organization lobbies governments, it examines policy documents and give comments. Is this overwhelming, something new for you?
Actually, no.
Okay.
It's not new per se, as I am in other support groups and other organizations related to some of my conditions, such as the Hope Foundation. It's a foundation which is an organization for persons living with lupus, sickle cell anemia, as well as arthritis, and as well as the Diabetes and Hypertension Association of Barbados. And I would have been a part of that association since my diagnosis, type 1 diabetes, in 2006. So both of those groups as well are very supportive.
Nice, wonderful. And it is essential that we have these type of support organizations for the many Barbadians that are living with non-communicable chronic conditions like this. Okay, it's so true. Daniel, you got involved with burnout, and would you say that it was an eye-opener for you, meeting new persons with different types of disabilities?
Yes, please. It has been. Especially for the aspect where I would have mentioned not too long ago in terms of the organization being one of a cross disability organization that encompasses all of the disabilities, impairments. So being and having met many persons with differing types of impairments or challenges, it really has been an eye-opener. It has helped me to become a lot more sensitive to like the challenges that others experience, as well as more empathetic.
Okay. And as you become more aware of disability issues, what are some of the issues really impacting and affecting the lives of thousands of Barbadians living with disabilities? What would you consider as the major priorities for you, the major priority areas you think both the NGOs and the government can address?
Well, really and truly, some of the main areas would be those of housing accommodations, as well as social welfare. I would also include education, as well as transportation. Then there's also the area of accessibility. Well, as I know, there is a draft policy on improving the lives of persons with disabilities that is being pushed for legislation at this point in time. But in my opinion, it is too far behind in that at this point in time, 2023, just about to be 2024, like these are things that should have been put in place a long time ago. In terms of, well, to do with housing and stuff, there is supposed to be, I believe it is, a 15% of housing that is supposed to be for persons with disabilities. And really and truly, with the amount of persons that are currently disabled, and with disability being a thing that can happen to anyone, any able-bodied person at any point in time, whether it be by injury, accident, or even illness, I really and truly believe that a higher percentage should be put aside for that. Then to go with social welfare, it has been my experience, as well as persons that I've interacted with and persons that I know, friends, that in terms of having that aid, in terms of welfare and stuff, it seems as though, especially as a disabled person, there are many hoops that you seem to have to go through in order for these basic necessities.
Okay, so we're hearing of the challenges that many individuals with disabilities experience in obtaining some financial assistance. And obviously the cost of living is pretty high in Barbados, so it is a challenge. Now, how do you see yourself as a young woman moving forward, getting or maximizing your strengths? Because our society tends to discriminate and think that once you have a disability, you are incapable of doing a whole lot of other things.
True. Society often depicts that attitude. How I do see myself moving up past that would be with making or helping with societal awareness, advocating more for persons with disabilities, helping to educate persons, because oftentimes, especially in the Barbadian society, there are only particular types of disabilities that persons suggest or persons deem to be worthy of being called disabilities. But really and truly, a disability is an impairment, and it's a challenge because mainly Barbadians focus on visual impairment or part of hearing impairments or even physical impairments, but it's so much broader than that. So I think that with sensitizing the public and creating better awareness of not only the needs of persons with disabilities, but also the strengths of said persons would help in conquering that idea.
I believe, Danielle, that as a young woman, you too would want to be gainfully employed or maybe even explore the possibility of self-employment. What does that picture look like for you?
Well, initially, my whole professional idea, since I was finished secondary school, had mostly been geared toward healthcare, medicine. I believe it could be as a result of having to be hospitalized so often and being at a doctor so many times. But I have always had a great interest. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to do medicine. But because of financial constraints, I had gone on to nursing. I almost completed my nursing degree. I'm still in the process of finishing it up. I just have one semester to complete. Well, just two courses within one semester. And I really and truly would love to complete those. Only issue at this point is in terms of my health and my ability to carry out those duties, since I have been pretty ill within the past 2 or so years. And my flares have not gone into remission to an extent that is allowing me to finish up. But I really and truly would like to complete my bachelor's of science degree in general nursing. And even if it is a case where I'm not able to practice the technical / practical side of it, the administrative side of nursing, the nursing administration, I would be very, very happy to do professionally.
Okay, that sounds like a plan that may be doable, and I hope it is possible. Okay, Danielle, so let us learn a bit more in terms of, as you look around the landscape of Barbados, you highlighted accessibility as one of the major challenges, and persons looking at you would not, as you said, realize that you have a disability. What aspect of accessibility is important to you? And then what aspect of accessibility do you see needing to be developed more for your peers with other types of disabilities?
Well, let me start off with my peers, especially in terms of movement. Many parts of Barbados are not accessible in terms of the sidewalks. Some places don't even have sidewalks, as they should. And the parts that do, oftentimes, they don't have the edging that would be accommodative for persons with wheelchairs or the rollators, the rolling walkers, to be able to ambulate onto with ease. Then there's also the traffic lights. I've noticed time and time again, I am sure there's one with the traffic lights in Columna Rock. I think that's Columna Rock. I can't remember where the other one is, but they actually sound out when it's time to walk. There should be more of those around. Matter of fact, at all of the crossings where there are the traffic lights and stuff, I think it is a necessity to have all of those things available for the persons who have impairments that would require those items for them to be able to get around with ease and with the lessened likelihood of having some other issue while just trying to traverse around our roads. There is also to do with the accessible bathrooms. Some places do have them, but not enough. And there is also to do with the lifts. I think maybe what needs to be done in some of these businesses and offices and locations, I think they need to do a lot more, or a lot more often they might have to make sure they carry out the elevator assessments to make sure that the lifts are functioning as they should. And, you know, make sure that the movement of persons with disabilities, especially those with physical impairments, is not as much of a challenge as it currently is at this point in time.
As you mentioned the traffic lights, I think one of the things that I am always concerned about is the length of time that individuals have to cross. While the chirping birds are essential for those with vision impairments and so on, I think that lengthening the time a fraction of a
longer
second, you know, can also facilitate those older persons who may have issues walking, as well as persons with disabilities who may not be as quick in crossing the, you know, the crosswalk. And I think that is really vital as we move forward with our development, particularly in a world where persons are very impatient and sometimes do not even wait until you have crossed to fully before they move, you know. So these are some aspects I think that can be explored. And of course, the perennial issue of people parking on the sidewalks and forcing pedestrians then to be in the road, which could be, you know, very probable or for accidents.
It is very hazardous. Yeah. Very hazardous. Yeah.
So I quite agree with you. Right. So, yes, these are some of the issues that we must look at as we look at making Barbados more accessible. And any other areas in terms of accessibility? I think you highlighted transport.
Yes, please. I did. Well, really and truly, in terms of persons with mobility impairments, challenges, the wheelchair buses, there is no way of knowing where or the timing of when it is that they will be available on particular routes. So there doesn't seem to be a freedom of movement for persons with ambulatory issues who might be ambulating via wheelchairs on the public transportation.
Okay, Danielle. So I believe that is true where, you know, there's no set information provided to commuters to inform them, okay, well, the electric wheelchair accessible buses will be on these routes, that individuals can plan and utilize the service. So yes, maybe that is a point that the transport board can take into consideration.
Yes.
Now, Danielle, you're also a young mother. Share with us how you manage as a young mother of two beautiful young daughters.
How do I manage? Not on my own, for sure. If through no more, by the help of Jesus. But thankfully, I do have some very supportive members of my family, such as like my mother, my sister, my father, my very good friends, my best friends. They have all been playing an integral role in the whole child rearing aspect of my daughters, as well as my last daughter's father.
Yeah. Okay, that is extremely important, and I'm happy to know that you do have that high level of support coming from your family and friends, because as the old proverb says, it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm happy to know that you have your tribe in your village to assist you in rearing your two daughters.
Yes.
So, Danielle, let's explore the other aspect of parenting. You have the support from your mom, your sister, your father and friends and, you know, your daughter's father and so on. What about your daughter, your older daughter especially? How does she react to you with your impairment? Obviously, she would have noticed. How do you see her responding to you?
Well, how she does, really and truly, she notices, especially like if I'm having issues when I'm really, really ill, she tends to pick up on it, especially if it becomes incoherent or disoriented. She tends to pick up on it rather easily. She usually tells me that it's how I might have my face or how unresponsive I might be. But usually when that happens, either she would notify my mom or she would try to help me to get me back to a certain level of, you know, being coherent enough to then, like, advise her on what next to do. But I tell you, Nolly, she is very aware and she's very confident in terms of caring for me. And I mean, oftentimes I contemplate on if it might be too difficult a challenge for her, but she always reminds me that I am her mommy and she only has one, and she will do all that is necessary to make sure that mommy's good.
Okay, and you mentioned a point there that I know is generally a conversation amongst the disabled community, and that is our children as carers. There's a very thin line. And, you know, sure. I know some people do have a very high concern about the children being our caregivers. What are your thoughts around this? And how can we, as parents with disabilities, create the right type of balance?
I think it will start first with a very open and honest conversation and just being real. Then what could be done next is putting certain tactics in place to help, like, ease, I mean, I don't want to say a burden, but ease the whole tedious task that might come along with the children caring for, not only the children, because I mean, there are even nieces and nephews that take part as well, caring of their parents, our loved ones. And once you're able to set a standard and have those children to understand, even though they might be looking after you to a certain point, there are certain lines that should not be crossed and certain purviews that should be understood, I think it should not be too much of a problem then.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I take the same position. It's really about creating that balance, helping the child to understand their role. And as you said, certain boundaries that you're putting in place to help both you, the parent with a disability, and the child in their capacity as a caregiver. So, yes. Now, Danielle, our time has been going by rather quickly because we're having such an excellent conversation. I just want to ask you, as we close, what words of encouragement or guidance would you offer young persons like yourself, 30 and under, in coping with their disability, or as a child of a parent who has a disability? How do you create that balance and really be comfortable with the life you're living?
Well, what I would say, even though sometimes I find it a little challenging to go along with it, there's this statement that persons often say that God does not give more than they can bear. I don't really like to hear that, per se, but how I think of it is that based on all of the different trials and tribulations and challenges that we as persons encounter, whether as a disabled person or other ways, they're all part of God's method of enriching our lives and strengthening us and building our endurance. So once you think of it from that point of view, I think you become a lot more enlightened and a lot more determined. And I believe that you end up seeing the ease in the process of things after time.
Okay, Danielle, thank you very much for that thought. And my final question would be, what keeps you motivated? How do you maintain a position where you do not become angry and bitter over your condition and life situation presently with you?
I think of it all as a means of God strengthening me. And through all the different confusion or challenges or impairments and all the rest that life throws at you, I just think of it as a way of God trying to strengthen me and, you know, give me the ability to give a great testimony on his behalf.
Okay, thank you very much, Danielle, for sharing so openly with me today. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you yet again. And I want to really encourage you to to keep pressing forward.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest, Danielle Holder. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or on 1-246-430-7300. And of course, you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, remember, you can check this and past episodes on the VOB92.9.com website. So then I will wish you a safe and productive week ahead. Remember to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.